This morning, my reflections have been about the qualities of the Buddha and what is the difference between the different deities, Manjushri, Tara, Chenrezig, and the Buddha. Why are they not all called the Buddha?
They're not called the Buddha, they're called a Buddha. Normally, when we say the Buddha, we mean the historical Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha, or the particular Buddha that we're talking about in that conversation. But obviously, they are all Buddhas. There are millions and millions and billions and trillions of Buddhas, maybe more. If you read Samantabhadra's aspiration prayer, there are sections in there where they talk about infinite number of Buddhas, as many as there are atoms in infinite number of pure realms, with infinite number of universes, with infinite numbers of all on the size of an atom. It's kind of like the Catholics talk about how many angels can fit on the head of a pin. It is to expand your mind. Because it's true, we're small. Mostly we think about our own family and our own neighborhood and things like that.
Thank you. What's on your mind this morning?
Happiness. I've been thinking about happiness. We have the Four Noble Truths. We have parting from the four attachments. We have the four immeasurables. May all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. And you hear masters say quite often, everybody wants to be happy, nobody wants to be suffering, even animals, even the smallest creatures, smallest being. But if you go to other teachings like parting from the four attachments, then there's a description of what is happiness, which is what we normally call happiness is not happiness. What we normally call happiness is the suffering of change. Because worldly happiness, whatever that is for us, isn't permanent. It's going to end. And when it ends, when you don't have happiness anymore, inevitably it's going to morph into unhappiness. It might go through neutrality first, but at the end of the day, it goes into unhappiness. So, what we call happiness isn't happiness for the simple reason it isn't permanent. When we say everybody wants happiness or we want happiness, we need to clarify what true happiness is. True happiness is what happens when you're enlightened, and it's usually called bliss. And it's permanent and complete. And we don't have that yet. In samsara, and it doesn't matter where you are in samsara, the third kind of suffering is it's the nature of samsara, it's everywhere. So even if you're in the God realm, one of the God realms, even though we say they have happiness there, they don't really, because they're still in samsara, it still ends. And because they haven't practiced Dharma while they're there, they're going to fall. If you're in the God realms, there's nowhere to go except down. And where do you go? You go into the realms below there, where there is suffering. So even that kind of happiness isn't happiness. When we're in samsara, suffering is just part of it. So what do we do? Well, stop pursuing worldly happiness would be the first thing, because it's a no-win situation. It's inevitable that whatever happiness you have in samsara, or whatever we call happiness in samsara, it's impermanent and it's going to change. So ups and downs of life are inevitable. They're normal in samsara. It happens to everybody. It doesn't matter how much money you have or how much fame you have or how much position or esteem or nice clothes or nice car or whatever. It doesn't matter. So if to say we want happiness, it's a losing proposition. So if you don't pursue happiness or you don't focus on happiness, what do you focus on? Well, you focus on purpose. What is the purpose of a Mahayana bodhisattva? To attain enlightenment for the sake of all beings. That's the purpose. That's our motivation. That's where we're focused. You can have that motivation even when you're unhappy. If you're happy, okay. If you're unhappy, okay. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change your purpose. Your purpose is to do your practice with the motivation of attaining enlightenment for the sake of all beings. All of your mothers who are suffering, to be specific, that's your purpose. Your mother is suffering. Your mothers from previous lifetimes who were kind to you, who gave you your precious human rebirth, or at least your human rebirth. If you were confronted with your real life mother who was drowning, or who was in a fire, or some suffering situation, some emergency, what would you do? You would immediately jump up and do everything you could to rescue her, even if it meant giving up your own life. And there are sutra stories about this, by the way. So that attitude of, I need to get going with my practice now because my mother's suffering should be first and foremost 24/7, because that's the actual situation. So if I have the purpose in front of me, and that's like always there, mindful of it, it doesn't matter if I'm suffering. If my mother's in a burning house, I run into the house to rescue her and I haul her out, and in the process of doing that, I get some burns. Doesn't matter, you saved your mother. And worry about your own burns later. Go to the hospital. Of course, we want to be happy, but the real question is, what does happy mean? What is happiness really? From a Buddhist point of view, it's a little bit different. Four Noble Truths, suffering is the first one. Going into the real meaning of suffering, you see that our worldly happiness is one of those types of suffering. Then you go into the cause, suffering, cause, cessation, path. Is it possible to stop the suffering? Is there a cessation? Yes. Oh, great. How? The path. What's the path? Well, for Mahayana, the path is attaining enlightenment for the sake of all of your mother suffering beings. It's a little bit of a rejigging. Actually, it's a big rejigging, but parting from the four attachments teaches us how to let go of our attachments so that we can focus on what's important, our purpose. What are we attached to? We're attached to our body. We're attached to this life. We're attached to our possessions. We're attached to our family and our friends. And we are averse to our enemies and so on. We're attached to this life. We're also attached to our own purpose. Thinking about number one, I, me, mine. We say we're not, but we are. So we need to get that straight. We need to find out about all these attachments that we have. We need to renounce them. Renunciation is really the precursor, in a way, for all of our practice. Renunciation in a way, it even goes before refuge, which is stepping onto the Buddha's path, the Dharma path. But if you don't have renunciation, you're not going to step on the path. If you think it's happiness to have a red Lamborghini with some really attractive person sitting in the passenger seat next to you, you're not going to renounce it. We need to understand our attachments, what they are, how we manifest them so we can renounce them. His Holiness Sakyadakshin said that's one of the reasons that sorrow is really important. It's really important to get in touch with your sorrow so you can renounce. If I deny my sorrow, which society offers numerous distractions, food, money, video games, consumerism, sex, drugs, rock and roll. If we fall into all those distractions so that we won't feel bad, I don't want to feel bad. I'm not saying that we need to get depressed and commit suicide, of course not. But actually facing up to how do I really feel? If I'm going to be mindful of my state, I'm going to see that there's some sorrow there. There's plenty of it, really. And that's good in the sense that it's good that we look at it, that we notice it and we're mindful of it. And we stop overeating and overconsuming and all of those things, you know. Black Friday sale, Cyber Monday sale. What can I go online and buy? More consume and consume this. And get out of all of that propaganda, really. And actually go, you know what? That new car that I bought last year, it's got a scratch on it and it broke down on the highway, even though it was new. And doggone it, I'm not that crazy about it anymore. It's just my car. It's not my new car. If we can get out of that way of thinking and actually make contact with our sorrow, not to stay there, I'm not saying stay there, but to then say, okay, what am I going to do about this? Renunciation. And then refuge. And then, from a Mahayana point of view, loving kindness and then compassion. Equalizing self and others, exchanging self and others, enlightenment thought, emptiness. And then I have a purpose. And then suffering, not suffering, it doesn't matter. Whatever happens, I take it onto the path. It's called taking it onto the path. So if you take it onto the path, the suffering becomes, it's like an impetus to your practice. Gee, I have a headache today. Oh, yeah, well, your mother is suffering in the hell realm. How do you like that? Oh, I better stop thinking about my little headache and start practicing and do my purpose. My bodhisattva purpose. How do you become an enlightened Buddha? You become a bodhisattva. Buddhas come from bodhisattvas. Where do bodhisattvas come from? They come from all of these things that were just mentioned. So there's a progression. There's a progression in the right direction instead of the false direction of materialistic samsaric happiness. Everybody wants to be happy? Yes. How to be happy skillfully? Apply skillful means. Understanding happiness, understanding how to get out of it. And then, once you're enlightened, how to help sentient beings do the same, which is what Buddha Shakyamuni did. He showed us how to do it. He doesn't make us enlightened, but he teaches us the way. path. Suffering cause cessation path. It's up to us to do it. If we don't, we'll go round and round and round in cyclic existence, which we have been doing. For how long? Beginningless time, the Buddha said.
When I hear you speak about renunciation and going on the path, I'm reminded of my reflections this morning of the Shakyamuni Buddha, and that he renounced his very fortunate life as a prince. And what he was seeking was truth. What is the truth of existence? And he saw suffering all around him. He saw the suffering of his mother sentient beings, and he wanted to bring us out of suffering. And so he took refuge in the real truth of existence without distraction, without consumerism, being very aware of what is the real truth of existence.
Yeah, that's right. And it's interesting, in some of the sadhanas, there is a more extensive refuge prayer that goes through, I go for refuge to the guru, I go for refuge to the Buddha, I go for refuge to the Dharma, I go for refuge to the Sangha. And then in some sadhanas, there's another line that says, I go for refuge to mind itself, the clear, empty Dharmakaya. Dharmakaya literally means truth body, or the body of truth sometimes. So it's not true existence, but it's a true way of being, which is beyond words, but we have to say something. So we say Dharmakaya or truth body. And that's the highest level of being. That's Buddha's. See here, the words are inadequate, but that's kind of their home base. And then from that, they manifest into the Sambhogakaya, Namanakaya, and so on. So they go. From there, they manifest out of compassion and they teach exalted bodhisattvas and sentient beings as a manifestation. But their way of being is Dharmakaya, which is truth body. And we have Buddha nature. So we have that. In us as a potential, so to speak, it's all covered up with obscurations and negativities of various kinds. That is our true nature, so to speak. True truth. What Shakyamuni did was he accomplished that, and eventually, after originally saying he wasn't going to teach, he eventually taught. And that's what we have now. We don't have Shakyamuni Buddha, but we have the teachings, we have the Dharma, and we have the teachers, the masters, the gurus to guide us. And so we have this incredible opportunity to realize real truth. And that's the truth.
Thank you for these reflections. We dedicate the merit of this to all beings.
Yeah, that's another important part. And because on the ultimate level, there's no time, you can dedicate your merit past, present, and future. That's another topic. Thank you.
Thank you.